file number 1905 will come to order. That would be House File 2163 and CFL 1905. And this is our first meeting, and I think I would want to say a couple things about the fact that a conference, I'm putting this in quotes, a conference committee report was published or whatever, was a mistake. On the other hand, it probably worked to get people talking.
It did.
Yes, yes. So I'm always about discussion, and anyway. So Representative Laughlin and I have been talking, and I'm actually going to turn it over to you to talk. This is something that's been around for at least 2 years here. We've been trying to make progress, and I don't know that we share the precisely the same idea. The Senate's approach has been this working group. I don't know if we called it a task force or a study group last year. But we didn't do that, and that brings us to today, where the House language obviously has the 70, moving from the 50 to the 75. You know, we had originally talked about going to 100 with the bill last year, and this one was to the 75, and here we are. And plus you have the application language, which we don't have. But Representative Walker, if you want to.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And this, you know, since we last dealt with this last year, there's been some other things that have happened, like federal health care reform legislation being enacted, and the need to kind of reshape what we're doing in terms of expecting that we're going to be implementing a larger small group size in the future, and we might as well start figuring out now what that means, what are the practical implementation issues related to that, and how can we continue Minnesota's leadership in healthcare reform in moving that forward. And what was posted is, which was just a concept of actually trying to move some concerns together into one piece, it does reflect the interest of making sure that a broad group of people have input before it goes into effect. In our bill, we did not have any of the changes effective until August of 2011, and so that there would be time for next session for us to react to the understandings that came from the interim work on the study, and so that we would feel very confident addressing any issues, any market changes that needed to be addressed. And we're also going to be discussing over the interim, what is the role of the exchange, what kind of information do people in small businesses need to make, and to make wise decisions. And so you'll see in some of the duties that were suggested there, some things looking at what kind of needs do small businesses have for additional information so that we accommodate their needs in implementing the federal requirement that we go to an exchange-based system of purchasing. And we have gotten feedback from some people that would really like us to go back to 100, since that's what the federal law moves us to. There's some people who would like us to study even more experts. I can say that some questions were raised about federal compliance issues, and I explored those both with in terms of mental health and HIPAA, and I explored those both with the Department of Commerce and with Tom Hender, our wise sage on all issues insurance in house research. And on both of those issues, I've been assured that our current provisions are actually adequate, and that shouldn't be an issue related to that. And I'll be glad to talk to others in the audience about that. But I did want to let people who had raised concerns to me know that I really appreciate the quick work in reading federal regulations and exploring federal laws to get that information back to us as we weigh that. I must say, my motivation for this was reinforced when I just heard yesterday about a small employer who went to over the 50, didn't know it, and was confronted with a 60% increase in rates. And so, I mean, while we're struggling to grow jobs in this economy, we want to do as much as we can to remove barriers from those businesses that are successful adding employees without jeopardizing the stability of that company that's willing to take the risk to put one or two more people on the payroll, and all of a sudden their ability to continue a health insurance benefit competes with their ability to stay in business in a tough economy. And I think we do need to deal with those kind of cliffs that we're sending, quite honestly, uninformed employers who don't realize that that's a limit. They may not talk to their agent as often, or broker as often as maybe they should, but they are feeling good. They're running their business. They add on a few people, and all of a sudden they've got another nightmare to deal with, and that's what this is to do. I feel that we can move forward based on our experiences in the 1990s of going from 29 to 49 and not having had anyone demonstrate to me any evidence of any major market disruptions at that point. So I think we have had some experience, and that was when Minnesota was also willing to step out. So I probably, that's sort of the context. I do want to get to a bill. I do want to work on refining what the partnership should be in terms of who should be at the table and doing the study, and making sure that what they're looking at is the right things.
Members have anything to say? I guess I should have let staff tell us the differences. I think everybody in the room knows the differences. They're just two different bills. They don't exactly address the same issue. Well, they do, but it's coming at it from two different perspectives.
Madam Chair,
Representative
David. Yeah. I see the way we're going here. Would it be appropriate then to move Senate File 1905?
It would be appropriate.
Or is there a combination of both that are ordered?
I guess my question would be from Representative Lawler. We chatted very informally about this. We have a couple of times, but most recently this morning, and I think we might want to tweak. I want to hear from you on the motion. I think that we want to move forward with the approach that the Senate bill takes, but we also want an understanding that we would like to move forward on federal reform before 2016 in Minnesota. We think we ought to be able, we could be, I don't know, call it an incubator, but we could be, trying to work out problems before that, before 2016, and I think that it would be smart of us to do that as a state. And so, I don't know if you want to respond to that.
Yeah, I think the study as it's currently in Senate File 1905 is not comfortable to me. It doesn't have enough representatives of the businesses that we're talking about. I think it needs a better balance of the membership, and we've even talked about since it, if it were, we were to delay implementation beyond and not put the April or August 2011 point in, which I think is still a discussion, but if we were not to put that in, we would still, it's going to have to come back to the legislature, and we'd want legislative involvement in more directly in what might be happening here. And so we're exploring those issues, and I think that the more practical sort of focus of the draft that was circulated as a some components of the study, I think is really important, that it, if we're going to bring a bunch of small business representatives along with informed health plan and underwriter and broker representatives together, we really want the contributions of those small business people to be heard in terms of what is going to help them in evaluating their risks, what is going to help, what do they want in find it's a current problem in the market right now. When we had the small business, the health insurance work group that Senator Scheid and I sat in, I was co-chair with Senator Olson. One of the things that we heard from the small business rep there was just how hard it was to get comparable quotes and to understand what they were. They're struggling to get a business going, and they don't pretend to be insurance experts, and they wanted really objective sort of information to help them weigh their alternatives. And so I think we need to make this a forum where they can share that kind of insight so that we shape whatever we do going forward so that it makes them small businesses feel more comfortable stepping up to offer a benefit that many of them may not have offered before. And so it looks to me like the Senate draft currently is a little bit more focused on the insurance underwriting and risks and stuff, and it's not as much oriented as what the intent of this bill, which was to help small businesses as they're weighing how to provide benefits to their employers and feel comfortable making what will be seen as a long-term commitment by their employees on an informed basis. So I think I would appreciate the time for us to continue to kind of go back and forth on that, and if other members of the conference committee have some reaction to that, sort of refocus a little bit in rebalancing it.
I wonder, Representative Loeffler, if that can be kind of dealt with instead of, I'm looking back now, I understand if we want to add some people to the working group or change those numbers around a bit. I mean, I think that the organizations, the groups that are named are important. Perhaps you, however, want more employers and more representatives of employees. You know, that number 6 and 7 on the Senate language, page 1. But as we look on page 2, I'm sensing from our earlier conversation that we might like to see language that's a little stronger about the fact that we intend. We want to work toward implementation. We want to work, and I mean, that's consistent with the federal reform in any case, but we would like to do that earlier. We want some kind of language, perhaps, I don't know if in that opening, you know, parens A on page 2.1. I think that the issues that or the topics to be addressed are not limited to these, but I think these are issues that should be addressed. But I'm wondering if you want to add.
Well, I think we can combine some of these. I think if I were in the position of recruiting small business people to serve on it, and you gave me this, it would just look as Greek as most insurance policies are. And I think that we need to have some things here that say, well, I don't know that I know anything about, migration of employers from fully insured market to self-insured market, but I do understand about how, you know, educational opportunities to how to make a better informed choice as a small employer or some of those other sorts of things. And so I think we can knit some themes together here have it. And I also think it has to have also about some practical sort of recommendations about how fast we move forward towards implementing the changes and whether we want to do it in a two-step. The House originally had supported 100 employees, and we actually came back to 75 after discussions with a number of different people. And, thinking that you'd take that first step, because when we went from 29 to 49, that seemed to be manageable. There's pros and cons, and I've talked to the industry about making the leap to 100 right off. There's some people who feel really strongly about we should just do that. There's others who feel like the two-step is a good way. I don't feel like I have all the wisdom to know about that going from 75 to 100, and I think that would be something that we would want to have them weigh in on as well.
When you say Representative Loeffler, they weigh in on
what the group that will be working over the interim.
And I think number one, parents one, does say that. Implications.
It could be, the way it's written, it could be that you create a separate market for 51 to 100, or I think the federal legislation really intends for it to be combined and spreading the risk over a larger population. And so I think we just need to be clear about what the assignment is before them. And it would also then include that evaluation of should we go to 75 first and see how that works and then go to 100? Or is that too much disruption and the industry and the business community feels like they'd like to take one leap? So I think there's a number of things that we can work on and come back with some ideas to the group.
Representative, I don't think that precludes. I don't think that item one there precludes the working group from recommending something about whether we go to 100 right away or we go gradually, I think you can still have that part of the conversation. I don't think that says you can't. So I don't know, Mr. Pender, Mr. Stang, are you tracking us? Because I think, you know, Representative Davids had asked a motion to move Senate File 1905 is in order. I think that it is to the extent that we want to modify language in the working group. At least that's how I see it. I don't know if the members of the representative.
If we worked off 1905, could we merge several of, for example, authors' ideas and work them in here so you guys cover what, or would that not be?
Do you mean to merge Representative Davis?
Well, amend some of her ideas into here as far as what she wants in the study group and membership and those types of things.
Representative Davis, I think we need to, the concept piece that was shared and posted, I mean, was an attempt to try and merge the two together. And I think we need to kind of just look at that again. I think we do need to have a discussion about, you know, timing too of when it would come and how fast it would come, and do we want to have this being, you know, sort of the parameters. And I think we also may want to coordinate it with, I have not heard an update, and I suspect there's people in the audience who know more than I do on how the HNHS bill resolved the issue of some of the interim work that's going to be done legislatively on preparing plans for federal reform implementation. And so I think we need to, this might fit as a component of that, as even an advisory group to that, but I have not heard exactly how that's put together. I think the Commerce Department is going to clearly be very busy this interim, and we appreciate their insights, and everyone in this room is going to be busy this interim as we sort through kind of the marching plan going forward on federal health care reform. And I think we want to make sure that we're not overextending our resources by having them do multiple duplicate things at the same time. I can say, having talked with our leadership on health and human services, there's a real strong sense that this is sort of a side issue, just as it was treated that way in the original healthcare access working groups that we served on in 2007. So I think we just need to have a little time here to just sort of see how do these pieces fit together and come back with some alternatives that we can maybe circulate, and we welcome ideas from others. I don't think we want to keep this out too long, but I do think we need to know a little bit more context. And I quite honestly have not heard how they structured it. There was two different alternatives, even just in the House bill.
Well, Representative Loeffler, I think that, and I haven't seen the language that they adopted, and maybe somebody, Mr. Gross, do you know, are you familiar with what they have? And the Health and Human Services, is it the Conference Committee report that actually...
I don't know if it's even been signed yet, but...
But that's the bill we're talking about.
But I think we should talk to them, because they're talking about work groups and what groups have they agreed to and stuff, so it may even go beyond the language. I just feel more comfortable talking to those people who are involved in the discussions and what they're outlining to see if this fits within that and should, how that would fit. I'm not sure.
Ms. Smith, do you have anything to share with us?
Sure.
Do you, at least in response to that question?
Thank you. Madam Chair and
yes.
Members of the Conference Committee, my name is Catherine Commit from the Minnesota Council of Health Plans. Yes, this is all somewhat familiar to me because this bill finished at about 2:30 this morning.
Yes.
And in Article 7 of the Conference Committee report is the health care reform article, and does a couple of different things. Section 1 talks about the relationship to the temporary federal high-risk pool is one issue, and talks about how to coordinate with state health care programs and other issues related to people who may be participating in the high risk, the federal high risk pool. Second section talks about coordinated care through a healthcare home. These are all elements of healthcare reform. Section 3 talks about federal healthcare reform demonstration projects and grants, about seeking federal grants to try some new things in Minnesota. And Section 4 is really probably the most important as it relates to this conversation, which is the healthcare reform task force. This is going to be reconvened to, and I'll just read right from the bill, to advise and assist the governor and the legislature regarding state implementation of federal healthcare reform legislation. So I think that pretty well captures it. It's all about getting this sort of blue ribbon task force together to talk about all the various elements of implementing federal healthcare reform and how should we do that as a state, and what are the most appropriate ways to do that. And it goes on. There's another section. But anyway, that is addressed specifically in here, and there will be this large group participating on it in this task force.
Thank you. Sabrina Vlaffo, do you think we ought to reference the healthcare reform task force?
Well, I think we should at least make sure, I mean, I think this can happen separate, but I just want to make sure that if they've agreed in their discussions to have several work groups, if this was going to be a work group of that, that we could potentially make this advisory to that. We could, I just would like to know more of the context, because I know they were putting together budgets to support these things and that sort of thing too, and I just don't know the context. But I do think this is a serious enough move and a needed move in our small business market that we need to make sure that when we do it, we really know what we're doing, and I totally agree with that. That's why we had the delayed implementation, because even though there were no issues that anyone could identify when we went from 29 to 49, we want to make sure that everyone's had a chance to really analyze that and tell us that before it goes into effect. And so I think this might go to a higher level of analysis than the typical work groups if they're going to be at that same level that the ones that you and I participated in.
You have to refresh my memory. Were those just legislators?
No, the work groups included members of the stakeholders and the healthcare, but they reported to the Healthcare Access Commission, which was only legislators. You know, so the policymakers were getting the recommendations of a mixed work group. And we had insurers, we had representatives of small business, we had providers, I mean, we had a variety of the interested parties at the table in those work groups. And that, I think, is always a useful way to inform our work. I just think, given the potential schedule over the interim, it might be that some of this is pretty heavy lifting for a work group that may only meet once a month. And so, I mean, I just think we need to kind of think a little bit about, I think this group needs to take its work to maybe a little higher level of detail than some of our work groups have typically done.
Representative.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I think we had better move forward with this and not tie it to that, because I don't think there's going to be a that. I think this is very, I'm sure, I think this is very important, and I don't want to really tie it to something that's sort of got a veto message.
Representative Davids, I would understand that and agree that perhaps the fate of that particular bill may not be certain. But I also, I think it is. I think it's also certain that we are going to continue to work towards having a balanced budget that will have some version of a health and human services bill. And given the bipartisan support, both from the governor's office as well as the legislature on working together on these issues of healthcare reform, I've never heard that this was part of the discussion of not doing it. It was just a matter of how it was going to get organized.
And Madam Chair, to my comments,
yes.
I'm thinking this is important.
Yes.
We need to do this,
yes.
But I don't want to tie it to that.
Okay. Yes. Well taken.
And to that point, too, there were discussions in our committee with this bill, Senator Scheid, about we wish we had done this last year so we would be a year further down the road. And I share Representative David's concerns, who we're just going to kick the can one more time and not get any help for these small businesses. So I would prefer to move ahead with this. I wish we'd have done the working group last year. And we, I think, had some more results on the 75 and 100. So why not? Let's, you know, I would prefer to move ahead with this working group. If we want to, you know, talk about the membership, I appreciate your point, Representative Lassa. I think you're right. There's, you're looking at the numbers. Business is perhaps a little underrepresented there, so I appreciate that. And if we want to add a little bit of language strength to the duties, but I'm not even sure if that's necessary. I sort of like the flexibility that's allowed in Senator Scheid's language here. But I'm not tied to that. I just would fear tying it to another bill or having. I'd like to see this working group move forward.
Yeah, I think those are points well made. So, yeah.
One thing,
yes, Representative Block.
That we didn't talk about that was an area of difference, and just to highlight that was the House had, and this had come from a small business person on that working group, was the desire for a uniform application. And the complaint of that person was that when they wanted to get quotes, they'd have to have their employees fill out almost the same information, but not quite, about their medical history and their prescriptions or whatever else, on different formats. And since that time, I've become aware that there have become computerized applications that have come out that tend to, as it was explained to me, and I'm not an expert on these things, is they sort of take all the common data, all the data elements, like say you had three different companies, and they take all the questions that are on any of those three questionnaires and they put it on one long questionnaire, and then they send to company A only the questions that are on A's form, and to B only the questions that are on B's form, and to C. And so it isn't a uniform form, which I thought it was. I actually thought it was the industry come together around a common thing. Instead, they've got a really long one. And apparently, because it's computer-based, you have to use, you know, an internet-connected keyboard, or you have to use a laptop or something to do that. And I still would like this group to look into that issue, just because I know a lot of the small businesses in rural areas, they can't, unless you can afford a satellite hookup, you can't even get internet. There are businesses in which the employees in it may not have the computer skills to fill out that kind of stuff, and may need to take something home to copy down things that they've got written down or that sort of thing to fill it out. And so I just think it's one of those practical things that I don't want to get lost, because I think sometimes it's the little practical barriers that keep people from offering insurance to their employees, because they just are so overwhelmed running their own business that when they start to confront a confusing market, it doesn't work. And so it may be that the market, by the time this group gets together, will have come up with something more streamlined. I'm glad they're moving in that direction. But I just really want that practical concept brought forward as an issue that they would look at as well. And it doesn't have to be preparing a uniform form as we had originally looked at, but I think it's looking at that whole concept of how to make it easier.
Representative Walker, would it be something, perhaps it could be parents and consideration of, this would be among the topics to be addressed, consideration or implications of a uniform health coverage application form?
We had some language in the potential draft that was a little, we had reforms that make it easier for small employers to get comparable quotes from competing health plan companies, including the advisability of a uniform application form.
Is there anyone with the best language? This is that. Conference committee report.
Of course, there wasn't a conference committee report, sorry. I know we're going to be getting back together. Representative Fritz and I have actually caught, just as we were carrying our lunch up from the cafeteria, we're diverted here. So I'm just wondering if people would be comfortable if we sort of made sure that people got copies of that, because I think not everybody realized, obviously, that it had been posted or even got copies of it here. And we could make sure that everyone has a chance to look at that, and we can maybe try and come up with some combination things to bring to the group in their discussion. How does that sound? Because I am a little anxious to get to lunch before we get locked into
the
things.
We won't make the motion yet, but we do. We understand. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know what time frame you're looking at. I will be leaving midnight tonight to go to Oklahoma City for a family wedding. So I'd like to sign the conference report, but it would need to be done by midnight. So I don't know what your thoughts are on timing.
Representative Davids, I have no expectation but that it will be another long day. We'll all be here. I don't know what's happening on the Senate side, but I think that gives us plenty of time to look at this and try and put some things together for people to think about. The other thing that I think we should bring up and get reactions from the broader range of conferees is when Representative Scheiden and I talked this morning, she had suggested maybe this should have some legislators on as well, and you know that wasn't a membership in the Senate proposal. You know, but that's a choice that would be a real difference than from what we have here.
I might say I like that because I think that it's important to have legislative buy-in. Somebody has to have been at the table to, you know, otherwise it's just a report that we'd all go, well, we did this, you know, and I think that would be good. So the way we're going to leave this, therefore, and by the way, the Senate is only waiting for the House right now, which is a lot of fun.
I'm just not being alone.
I'm with you.
So,
hang tight.
I want to give people who are here in the room an opportunity to say something, but I want to kind of summarize where I think we are. And Representative Wobbler, correct me if I'm wrong. Hit me with an elbow or something. But I think that we're inclined to move forward with a working group. Unrestricted in terms of what number we want to increase to, perhaps more with the focus of looking forward to the federal reform, not. We want that working group to be able to look at how fast we ought to move or how fast we could move toward that, you know, 51 to 100 or not, and what the implications of doing that either way or neither way are. And then language that ended up in a posted conference committee report, if you will, that have to do with some of your suggestions about, I don't know if it includes the makeup of the group, but also their tasks, their topics to be addressed. And that one of the topics might be the uniform plan. I don't know if that's in, is that in there?
Yeah, and there's a few other things that are really
and that's where we'd be. So we wouldn't be establishing any time certain for application or implementation of increasing the small employer group. We want to get the working group feedback before we go forward with that. And yes?
Madam Chair, my concern about sort of stating it as no time certain, I think since the House has twice passed this, once with 100 and once with 75, I think there's an interest in the House in moving forward on pretty seriously on taking away this barrier to small groups. And so I think that we need to in some way imply that the expectation is that we are gonna move forward on this and evaluate it without the expectation that it's gonna get put off to 2014 or something, that this is that we really want practical implementation focus as opposed to theoretical, let's go slow and wait for the years to pass. And I think we can work on some language that does that, that just can, I think the House, given it's the strong bipartisan support we've had on both when we brought it forward, would like to see some progress in reducing those barriers. I mean, this is the year of jobs, 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 and this was seen as a way to take away a barrier from employers who really want to add employees without risk to the health insurance that they currently have.
Yeah, Representative Walker, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to not say that. I don't want the working group to come back and say, don't worry about this till 2016. I don't want that either. So we need to have them move toward implementation prior to, and with recommendations about how we might best do that.
And
so,
Madam Chair, you're kind of doing that on line 2.18. You know, you're moving the report. I agree with my block, but we don't want to just have another report.
Right.
And I think right now, if you think about it, this is a very, very important working group to get going, whatever you do, the membership or whatever, because we're in a new world, and we need a group to figure out what that new world is and how to get there.
And I think if we can be ahead of this, you know, ahead of federal reform, if we do get this working group going. And actually, the timing is probably appropriate. It last year was premature in the sense that we didn't know.
We didn't know.
So,
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Clark.
And I would agree with you. I think that this is very important. We need to get something done this year. And to Representative David's point, it was pretty clear to me by Senate leadership that if we don't have conference committee reports wrapped up by midnight tonight, it wasn't going to happen. So I don't want to put any additional pressure on people, but I believe if we want something to happen.
Of course, Madam Chair, I was told that on Mother's Day, too.
No, I think it's, you know, it'll be a tough one to sell. Yeah. So, Mr. Pender and Mr. Stang, I don't know if you have you picked up. Have the notion of where we want to go with this. So we're talking about
a couple things I picked up.
Yeah.
We want some change in the membership.
Yes.
And perhaps that could model what the concept
yes,
bill included, and maybe let's say, although Senator Pogemiller has been, I believe, a little hesitant on some of the legislative membership stuff lately, and I don't speak for him, of course, but that's we certainly do. We want one legislator from each body, or
I think that
minority and majority from each body.
One of each
from
party.
both
yep.
bodies.
Right.
So it'd be four legislators.
Yes.
Okay.
So I think we want some legislators to take
home. Is that going to give us a fiscal note?
Well, and that's, I think, part of the discussion we have to have with Commerce is because we've gotten mixed messages about whether or not there would need to be a fiscal note or if this was work that they now are going to have to do anyhow because of some of the work they're going to be doing with health care reform, and I'm not sure we need to talk to get a clear understanding from Commerce as to how much we can expect you to staff this or assist with this. Without incurring a fiscal note using current resources, that would be very useful if you could quickly help us, advise us on that. I know that's, if you don't have the answer now, but quickly gain that.
Mr. Gross, hello.
Madam Chairman, members, my name is John Gross, Commerce Department. I think we can absorb this. We've got obviously a lot to do with health care reform, federal health care reform, implement that, but again, it's something that I think we could, with our staff, participate in this and a freebie.
Mr. Gross?
Madam Chair, I would also say we just concluded the Arts and Crafts Conference Committee, and in that, we put some legislators on a commission, and there's been no pay. No reimbursement. And so I think that there we would find members, myself included, that would come up and work on this group for no per diem and no mileage, so therefore no cost. Just a thought. We just did it.
Did you add Representative Davis, did you add that into the language? Because my understanding is that there's automatic fiscal
and health care. It says right, and no compensation.
Okay.
Period.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, that was part of my question about finding out about Health and Human Services, because last time around when we did this, it was built into the Health and Human Services budget to handle the per diem of legislators who are involved in healthcare reform initiatives, and it was handled through the LCC. So that was part of why I wanted to check into it. And Mr. Gross, I really appreciate you're always being willing to step up and help us. If you could communicate with whoever writes your fiscal notes, that might be useful, because we discovered yesterday that there was a fiscal note on the Senate bill from Commerce for a few thousand dollars. And I think we need to do some kind of official process to get that changed. I think, I'm not an expert on that, but I think we do generally honor those fiscal notes, and as long as it would be helpful for us not to run into problems when we bring it back to the floor and have somebody raising questions related to that. So should we set a target time of getting together? Is that, that's so impossible. I mean, the last time I did that with a group, we ended up delaying 3 hours because one side or the other was in a call.
You should find out what's your plan.
I'm quite sure we're not going to meet until we know. I don't think we're going back on the floor.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We just call the chair.
Yeah. So,
can it be the call the chair, and we'll make sure that everybody here is notified. We have a way of communicating to everybody in the room, and we'll do that. You'll kind of try to find out when you're going back to the floor. And we know we will be when you guys get going. So.
I have to say, I'm sorry that we're just not able to pass 130 bills in one day.
We're the delivery
and, body. And with 134 members, we have many voices to be heard. And so many of us would be anxious to be able to have more under our belt than we do, but we are moving forward.
No, that's fine. No, I think we're waiting, actually, for the House to do the Health and Human Services bill.
And if there are others in the audience who have any specific concerns
Absolutely.
About either draft, why don't you communicate those to us? We'll ponder those as we're
set with
something.
You want to say something, Mr. Griffin?
Please, Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, members, my name is Phil Griffin. I'm speaking on behalf of the Minnesota Council of Health Plans and my clients, you, Karen, preferred one. We have a letter for the conference committee, and I'll be very brief just to try and make our points quickly. At the time the House heard the bill and it was passed, and in years past, there was no need for the bill. There was a need for the bill because federal reform hadn't passed, and we would continue to urge you that we don't think the bill is currently necessary. We've been working with the Minnesota Association of Health Underwriters to craft the study language in the Senate bill, and we've agreed with that. If you feel it's absolutely necessary to move forward with that, we'd ask you to move along those lines. The federal law will go into effect in 2016. Representative Loeffler, you were understating what the impact will be when you talked about people being busy. And I can tell you that the health plans, the Commerce Department, the Health Department, the Department of Human Services are involved in regular meetings already trying to figure out what Health and Human Services will be bringing to us. The rules are being drafted. We've already seen the first set on how we're going to deal with dependents up to age 26 that were just released the early part of last week, and we're trying to sort through those, and they are coming very, very rapidly, as are the conference calls that have been set up by HHS to deal with things like the portal and the insurance exchange, and this is going to be very busy. And that's why we're urging you to be cautious as you move forward with this. We would really plead with you not to make a change to move to 75 as we're moving to 100 in 2016, and to help us work with this. One of the criticisms we hear plans is that our administrative expenses are high. If you want to add to those administrative expenses, have us make a change and then make another change. That just takes more money and energy and time out of the system that we really don't need to have. The other thing that we just would caution you is that there's a concern about the impact from federal health care reform legislation regarding minimum loss ratios. Under the new federal law, beginning in 2011, plans must provide rebates to individuals or groups if specified MLRs are not met. For large groups over 50 employees, that amount is 85%. For individuals and small groups, it's 20 to 50. If you change group size, we won't match up with that federal reform. It will make it impossible to comply with that. Those are the kinds of things that we think need to be studied if you're moving forward with something like this. I have a letter for you. We'll pass that out at this time. If there are questions, Madam Chair and members, we'd be happy to address them.
Well, thank you, Mr. Griffin. And I am discouraged to hear you say 2016, because I really do feel the pressure from the small employers that I hear from that this is a problem in their life right now. And I'm hoping that we can start to address issues in the small business purchasing market quicker than that. And I think that this will give us guidance as to whether or not we can. And in terms of issues about minimum loss ratios and stuff, this bulk provisions of language said that we look at federal issues. I have to say the two issues that were raised to me on Saturday by the industry, I checked out as I announced at the beginning of the meeting, and the two separate objective, nonpartisan resources that I trust, and both of them said none of, they could not see any problem, possible problem with those. If there is a problem, we'll address it in the work group. And so I really feel like that's the whole purpose of this, is to get everyone, the state decision makers and the business people and the underwriters and the Commerce Department to come to a common understanding and to do the hard work that's necessary to make sure that we don't have more erosion in our small business coverage. And we all know in this room that a lot of small businesses have been dropping coverage as of recently, and others have not been adding employees because they don't want the risk of that. And so I think, you know, I think getting us all around the table over the interim will help us address both the issues of the industry and the interest, the issues that the state faces with federal health care reform, as well as helping our small businesses that are increasingly either avoiding getting insurance, dropping insurance, or not hiring people at a time when we desperately need people to be increasing their payroll if they possibly can. And so I think the work over the interim is going to be really important, and it's going to help us step forward.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, I don't want to prolong the discussion, but I also want to bring into account the fact that if you do change the group size, you will be impacting the other end of the spectrum.
And
so there are groups that.
Study.
Madam Chair, absolutely.
But also, the federal law is moving to the 100.
Absolutely.
Five years also.
Madam Chair, Representative Loeffler, you are absolutely right, and we are going to have to go there. The question is how we move there and how we do it in a smooth fashion without increasing administrative expenses. And as we came into this conference committee, we have a House bill that says we're going to move to 75, not 100, and that simply doesn't work.
But, Mr. Griffin, are you suggesting, I mean, I don't think that would be part of the conference committee report, so it would be looking at how we best gear ourselves up to make the move, and can we do it sooner than federal reform? You know, that's what we're hoping to do and looking toward. Are you saying that we shouldn't be talking about that?
Madam Chair, I'm not saying we shouldn't be talking about it. I'm saying right now we shouldn't be doing it until we know what we're doing.
Mr. Griffin, meaning we shouldn't be moving the group, changing the number, but we should be talking about how we might get there.
Madam Chair, yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, then I did misunderstand you. So.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yeah, absolutely, Mr. Griffin. Is there anybody else that would like to say something, Mr. Hickey?
Well, thanks, Madam Chair. Mike Hickey with the National Federation of Independent Business, and definitely share some of Mr. Griffin's concerns. We're probably the most affected group of this, and had some good conversation with Representative Loeffler about what's going on that 51 to 100 group, and some of it is concerning. I think when they passed Minnesota Care Law, they felt that at about 50 lives, you had some protection, or you were somewhat insulated from underwriting that might be harsh, but I think we found out that's not the case, and there's some groups that I'm aware of from another task force I've served on, and anecdotal stories I've heard and seen, and Representative Loeffler has relayed to me that, you can really get whipsawed by rate changes and whatnot from at 51 or 61 or 71 or whatever. You had somebody from your district, Madam Chair, so that's a real problem. Our concern is this. There is this 26 timeline, and the federal law passing was a huge development in this factor from what we were talking about last year. But first of all, the target should be 100, and it sounds like maybe we're shaping up for that, and we're not going to be concerned about an intermediate step to 75. But we just really feel an actuarial analysis has to be done. And what if we see concerning results to it? There is a federal law saying 2016, but there may be a lot of attempts to change that law. We don't know what will happen. And that's a long way out. The whole law may be moving pieces, and a lot of attempts will be made to change it and amend it, I'm sure, maybe as soon as after the next election, who knows. But if we see concerning results, I would say, Minnesota, don't rush to do this. If we see results that look like they're positive, we probably do, but we absolutely need an actuarial analysis. We have to have some idea what we're doing despite this deadline that's out there vis-a-vis the federal law. So I just strongly urge you to, we have to do an actuarial analysis, and I think with the people power we got on this and with the Department of Commerce, hopefully that can get done. The only other suggestion I had just from a membership standpoint is possibly you might want to consider adding a few more business people. I really appreciate my organization being included, but possibly you might want to have two business people from 51 to 100, and possibly, am I reading this right, it's employees, no, employer, it's on employer, representative employer is business employee fewer than 100. You might want to have two from 51 to 100, because that is a group that we're very concerned about, based on all we've heard, and possibly two from 2 to 50, and just so to have other, you know, independent business people on the group, too. That might be a suggestion, aside from the groups such as myself in the chamber.
I want to say that I think I speak for Representative Walker. I shouldn't even try, but some of us think that even if they repeal federal health care reform tomorrow, we think we ought to be talking about this issue and making some progress for small business. You know, and I assume you agree with that, that there is a need out there at 51, wherever the break is, and we need to figure out how most prudently and appropriately to move toward that. You know, and that, so I think that's what we're looking at and trying to do with this working group.
Well, I agree, yeah. Madam Chair. I agree. One idea may come up is a separate. I think the last thing we want to do with this group is somehow raise cost on 2 to 50 that struggles so badly around here with all the mandates and some of the things in the HHS bill this year and whatnot, only making it worse. So I think the last thing we want to do is raise cost on them, even 1%, through doing something like this, but possibly separate pools or, you know, you say working our way toward it, maybe looking for ways if there was something that gave us pause through the actuarial analysis, trying to implement it in a way that would protect 2 to 50, but then going forward, it would be a separate group or something for 51 to 100, because the underwriting protection is probably worth it under any circumstances, knowing how some of these people have been hit with large increases. But I would hate to see us pass a displaced cost down to 2 to 50, because they're struggling so bad right now.
Well, and Mr. Hickey, those are the kinds of things that we would be addressing, because we don't have the answers exactly to what the practical implication is of that.
Madam Chair, well, because of those kind of issues, I had actually asked Tom Pender, our House Research Insurance expert, about that, and maybe you want to share with the group your assessment of putting the small employers in a larger pool, bringing in the 50 to 100s versus, two separate pools. I think, as I recall the answer, it was about it actually improves the risk situation, but the study will actually address what the real situation is.
Mr. Pender, did you want to?
I'm not an actuary, but I guess it's been my impression that adding, making the pool larger and adding more larger employees would tend to average to stabilize them. I remember when we first created the small employer market, the industry was mostly concerned, they were concerned about the ability of the small employers to game the system by having Uncle Charlie and things like that. My guess would be in the other direction, that adding these larger employers would tend to stabilize the pool and probably help the small employers, as long as they were, depending on how the extent to which we're going to be pulled together.
Is there anybody else that would? Senator Sparks.
Madam Chair, and, Mr. Hickey, other than maybe the makeup of the group, is your organization basically supportive of this idea?
Of the task force? Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Definitely. We really strongly recommend an actuarial analysis, though, before we change the law.
If we could change it without, serious ramifications to people, we would do it right away. But I think that you're expressing what I've been saying, that
the ramifications. In our bill, it was delayed a year to get the information. So we're all going in the same direction of wanting to make informed actions. It's to make sure that we have the right issues, and I think to make sure that the small business voice is heard as is this move forward.
Is there anybody else?
Madam Chair,
for
the record,
is there anybody else would like to speak again?
I'm sorry, I have a great deal of respect, and I'll be very brief, Madam Chair, members. I have a great deal of respect for Mr. Pender, but I would say that his analysis is correct if we lived in a closed system. But You need to remember that those people that are at that top end at 100 are now in the world where they can opt out if they are stable and move into the self-insured market. And so that's the worry that we have in terms of whether or not you're actually going to fix this risk, and I think that's one of the big reasons for looking at this.
Is there anybody else that wanted to speak to this? And does anybody have any questions about where you think we're headed here? I don't want to play any games with anybody. I'm sorry that this came out as a conference committee report, as if we had agreed on something that was approved. We were looking for a draft of where we thought we could begin the discussion, because we were just going to merge the bills and then talk about that. And, we've made progress since that point, but I think what we're going to do is recess to the call of the chair, so you can go eat lunch. And no, not that reason, but I want you to be able to do that. And if anybody has any suggestions, to please share them with any of us here. But I think I know where we want to be. So nobody else has anything to say. With that, we're in recess, and I'm guessing that we will.